MIT Technology Review listed their top 10 picks for the greatest scientific advancements of 2017. Reversing paralysis. Scientists are making remarkable progress at using brain implants to restore the freedom of movement that spinal cord injuries take away. Self-driving trucks. Tractor trailers without a human at the wheel will soon barrel onto highways near you. What will this mean for the nation's 1.7 million truck drivers? Paying with your face. Face detecting systems in China now authorize payments, provide access to facilities, and track down criminals. Will other countries follow? I don't know. My face might break the payment system. Practical quantum computers. Advancements at Google, Intel, and several research groups indicate that computers with previously unimaginable power are finally within reach. The 360-degree selfie. There are now inexpensive cameras that can take a spherical 360-degree image. Hot solar cells. By converting heat to focused beams of light, a new solar device could create cheap and continuous power. Gene therapy 2.0. Scientists have solved fundamental problems that were holding back cures for rare hereditary disorders. Next, we'll see if the same approach can take on cancer, heart disease, and other common illnesses, like male pattern baldness. That's what I'm hoping. The Cell Atlas. You know, the dome gets kind of cold in the winter. Biology's new mega project will find out what we're really made of. Botnet of Things. The relentless push to add connectivity to home gadgets is creating dangerous side effects that figure to get even worse. And we were talking about in the Bible study earlier, I mentioned they now have refrigerators that can tell you if you're out of milk. Reinforcement learning. By experimenting, computers are figuring out how to do things that no programmer could teach them. New technological advances are quite exciting, and they can change our everyday lives. However, the Lord can radically transform us in new ways, and unlike anything this side of heaven, the Lord's new things are eternal. And we've had a pretty rough year when we think about the terrorist attacks, the shootings that have happened throughout our nation, the natural disasters, you know, the wildfires, the earthquakes in Mexico, the hurricanes, which are, you know, still have left behind devastation. But the encouraging thing that we can say at the end of this year and the beginning of next year is that God has not changed, God has not moved, and God is still doing new things. So I'm going to look at our passage verse by verse today. It's there in your bulletin. If you look at verse 15... please note that the Lord, speaking through his prophet, explains who he is in verse 15. All other passages are true because of the character and identity of God. Time after time in Scripture, the writers of Scripture say they will praise and adore and thank God, and then they will say these things are true because of the character of God, because of what God has done in the past. Because of God's love for us. All the other verses hinge on this. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. And no matter what happens with our families, no matter what happens with our health, no matter what happens in the news, God is still on the throne. When God speaks in Scripture, he speaks with authority as the Holy One, the Creator, the King. And it's interesting that sometimes we'll say that humans create things. An artist created a painting. A scientist created something. But isn't it interesting that we as humans need ready-made materials to create things? Only God creates out of nothing. Even the artist has to have the paint and the canvas. Only God can spring forth something from which there is nothing. The Ten Commandments are not 10 suggestions. They come from the Lord. When Jesus speaks, he shared authoritative truth. He didn't preach. He didn't teach like the rabbis did. The rabbis would take a passage. Then they'd say, well, the Talmud says this. The commentaries say this. The rabbi I studied under said this. And they'd have this long explanation about why their interpretation was correct. But Jesus came from the Father. Jesus spoke with authority. Verse 16, God makes a way. Isaiah reminds the Israelites of the Lord's deliverance from Pharaoh and the Egyptian army. The Red Sea swallowed up the God-king's chariots and men. The Pharaoh was not just the king to the Egyptians, one of the most powerful empires in the world. He was their God. And of course, the Lord said, there are no gods before me. Way in the wilderness, just as Israel in the wilderness between the Red Sea and Cana was guided and supplied with water by Jehovah. Just as they were provided with a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. Just as manna came from heaven taking care of them. The new deliverance shall be attended with manifestations of God's power and love, eclipsing the old. Isaiah 41, 17 through 19. I will open a way not merely in the Red Sea, but in the wilderness of the whole world. And not merely one river shall gush out of the rock, but many, which shall refresh not the borders as formerly, but the souls of the thirsty, so that the prophecy shall be fulfilled. We see that God's methods may change, but his character does not. And we are blessed as Christians to have a new covenant where our sins, our debts, our penalties were paid by Christ. He took the wrath that was due us. And he has given us salvation, intimacy with God, a new family, a new hope. You know, it's interesting. The first movie of the Star Wars films is called A New Hope. If anyone saw the last Star Wars movie, I don't want to give anything about the movie away, but the whole crux of the movie was trying to restore hope to the people. We are fortunate because we serve and worship the greatest hope dealer in the world, the one who makes a new way. The verses that are in front of the Ten Commandments called the Israelites to remember what God had done for them in Egypt. Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. And God spoke all of these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And the Lord faithfully delivered the Israelites from the Pharaoh and into the promised land. And as the Lord did that, Adonai will continue to guide and protect his people. This is just as true today as when the Lord spoke to Moses. This is just as true today when God with his finger chiseled into the Ten Commandments, into that stone tablet. This is just as true today as when Jesus was crucified on the cross, but 3 days later rose again in power and glory and now sits at the right hand of the Father. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Do not fear, because God is with you. The Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, the one who sustains the very universe, the one who spoke the universe into existence, the one who humbled kings, the one who humbled emperors, walks with us. His Spirit is inside all believers. The Lord will strengthen you and help you. The Lord opens up a way in the wilderness and the wasteland. The Tourist Israel Online Guide describes Israel's efforts to make desert land life-giving and vibrant. They have literally made the desert bloom in Israel. Desert agriculture in Israel is one of the country's greatest successes and something in which Israel leads the world. The Negev Desert, which covers over 60% of the country, has shrunk in size over the past century as agricultural activity has turned sand into green fields, the opposite of the desertification trend that's going on through much of the world. For example, the Sahara Desert has continued to grow. Even in the depths of Israel's Negev Desert are gems of agriculture amid the harsh, dry conditions. Israeli company Netafim invented modern drip irrigation technology in the 1960s. This allowed the precious and scarce water resources in the desert to be used at the extreme limits to grow crops. Among the most noteworthy crops grown in the Israeli desert are cherry tomatoes. The modern strain, which are found in grocery stores around the world, was developed in the Negev. You can thank the Israeli desert for cherry tomatoes. They are 2 to 3 times sweeter than those found elsewhere due to the amount of water used and the unique qualities of minerals found in the water. Today, agriculturalists are developing even newer strains of the tomato to increase yields further. The Negev has 3 to 4 times the yields of tomatoes compared to elsewhere in the world, and they're being grown in a desert. As well as cherry tomatoes, the Negev is home to fish farms, olive groves, farms of many varieties of fruit and vegetables, and many more unusual crops which are selected based on their response to desert conditions. Farmers of the Negev are also trial growing unique and unusual crops, such as the tomato tree, which originates from South America and creates a unique citrus-tasting fruit, and cherry tomatoes shaped like dates. Isaiah 35, starting in verse 6. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sands will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. If the Lord can make the desert lush with vegetation, the Lord can do new things in us as well. Isaiah was prophesying about the return of Israel from exile. The Assyrians and Babylonians had taken the people into exile. The temple had been destroyed. And Isaiah and other prophets were also prophesying about the coming of Christ approximately 800 years later. Isn't it amazing that when the Lord says something, it always comes to pass? Verse 18, don't dwell too much on the past, because the Lord is at work in our present and future. He is at work in our day. Even just looking at Lampasas, a new ministry started the last couple of years, Helping Hands of Lampasas, which helps senior citizens with their homes and their yards. And the Salvation Army has decided to increase their presence also in Lampasas, and we had bell ringers this year. The Lord is at work in our churches. The Lord is at work in the mission. The Lord's work in the Ministerial Alliance. And the Lord is at work around the world. Verse 19, God does new things. The Lord is not predictable. Isn't it interesting that throughout Scripture, the Lord dealt differently with different people and called them in different ways, giving them different gifts? We serve an infinite, all-knowing God, who's the master of the past, the present, and the future. We cannot put God in a box. Jesus constantly amazed his enemies and followers by what he did and said. Dwight Nelson recently told a true story about a pastor. He had a kitten that climbed up a tree in his backyard and then was afraid to come down. The pastor coaxed, offered warm milk, did whatever he could to try to get that kitty back to safety. The kitty would just not come down at all. The tree was not sturdy enough to climb. So the pastor decided that if he tied a rope to his car and drove away so that the tree bent down, he could then reach up and grasp the kitten. And yes, it worked about as well as y'all think. He did all this, kept getting out to check, and then figured if he went just a little bit farther, the tree would be bent sufficiently for him to rescue the kitten. But as he moved a little farther forward, the rope broke. The tree went boing, and the kitten instantly sailed through the air out of sight. The pastor felt very bad. He walked all over the neighborhood, asking people if they'd seen the little kitten. No, nobody had seen a kitten. So he prayed, "Lord, I just commit this kitten to your keeping," and went about his business. But what happened to the kitten? A few days later, he was at the grocery store, and he met Melissa Jefferson, one of the church members. He happened to look into her shopping cart and was amazed to see cat food. Knowing she hated cats, he asked her, "Why are you buying cat food when you hate cats so much?" She replied, "You won't believe this," and told him how her little girl Megan had been begging for a cat. But she kept refusing. Then a few days before, the girl had begged again. And so the mom finally told her little girl, "Well, if God gives you a cat from heaven, I'll let you keep it." You can guess the rest, she told the pastor. I watched my little girl go out into the yard, get on her knees, and ask God for a kitty cat. And really, pastor, you won't believe this, but I saw it with my own eyes. A kitten suddenly came flying out of the blue sky. And its paws spread out and landed right in front of her. If God can answer a girl's prayer about a kitten, what else can God do? In his book, God is Not Nice, Ulrich Lehner, a young Catholic theologian, challenges the God of this popular culture. He writes in the book's introduction, "We all need the vaccine of the true, transforming, and mysterious character of God. The God who shows up in burning bushes, speaks through donkeys, drives demons into pigs, throws Saul from his horse, and appears to Saint Francis. It's only this God who has the power to challenge us, change us, and make our lives dangerous. He sweeps us into a great adventure that makes us into different people." To express the inexpressible, a Christian businessman kept this motto on his desk. How great must be the God we need? How much greater is our God than our greatest need? John Wesley captured the same truth in a different way. Give me a worm that can understand a man, and I'll give you a man that can understand God. His greatness is unsearchable, David said in Psalm 145:3. The greatest example of God making a way for his people, the greatest example of the Lord doing something new, is in the birth, life, ministry, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah. He is the King, the Priest, and the Prophet, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Who would have thought the Messiah would come from unknown parents in a small village? Who would guess that the suffering servant who died a shameful death on a cross will come back as a conquering king, restoring a new Jerusalem, a new heavens, and a new earth? Who would guess that the greatest rabbi, the greatest teacher who ever lived, would train fishermen and a tax collector to follow him? Who would think that angels and magi would worship a baby in a manger? For so many of us, we have known the story for decades. The Father invites us to look with new eyes, to look at what God is doing new in our midst. Jesus' birth divided the calendar, gave hope to the hopeless, and provided salvation to the lost. And we need to strengthen our relationship with him. Corrie ten Boom had this to say about God and the future. Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Our relationship with the Lord is always more important than our circumstances. Nothing can separate us from Him. The wolves do not fear the sheep. The wolves fear the shepherd. We grow in our walk with Christ when we are in the darkest valleys. Like sheep, we need to listen to the good shepherd and follow Him. Abide in Him. God is there when we cannot sleep due to worry. God is there when we can barely move because of our physical limitations. We are God's people, God's chosen. Isaiah is speaking to Israel. However, the Lord today adopts all people into His family who call upon Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Emmanuel, God with us, lives inside of every believer. We no longer must travel to the temple to see God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, 3 through 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world, some translations say before the foundation of the world, to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. God adopted us. God doesn't just call us His servants. God does not just call us His disciples. Yahweh, the great I Am, says, "You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter." His banner over us is love. Verse 21, God formed us to praise Him. We all have value. The Lord handmade us. We read in the Psalms that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. We read in the Psalms that He knit us together in our mother's wombs. No one is an accident. Orphans have a heavenly Father. Widows are not alone because Jesus is with them. Crime victims have the Holy Spirit to strengthen him. The poor, the destitute, the needy have a friend in Jesus. We all have a purpose and we all are His witnesses. We're created to praise Him. The Lord gives us grace, love, mercy, protection, and so many other blessings. Paul writes about our purpose in Ephesians 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before Him, that we should walk in them. You are God's workmanship. No one is a mistake. Ravi Zacharias tells the following story. A man is wandering through a desert with a bottle of water on his shoulder. He conserves his water carefully until it's all gone, and then he begins to get thirsty. That thirst gets deeper and deeper until he sees a pump and runs to it. He lifts the handle and pulls it down, but all he hears is the sound of metal upon metal. Then he sees a tin can at the bottom of the pump, and in the tin can is a message. Dear traveler, do not despair. There's enough water here. Just follow the instructions. Lift the handle of the pump, bring it down, and when you hear the sound of metal upon metal discouraging you, here's what you do. Under the pump in front of you, there's a buried under the sand a bottle of water. Do not despair. Pick up the bottle, pour the water into the cylinder, and start priming the pump. The moisture will get the system to work. A rush of water will start gushing out of the pump. You can drink all the water you want till all your bottles are full. But do not forget to fill the bottle again and leave it for the next passerby. Warning, you're going to be tempted when you see the one bottle of water to drink it, but you'll be so thirsty again and so will everyone else who goes by. Empty it out as instructed and you'll have all the water you want and so will everybody else going by. Ravi Zacharias continued, when you come up against Christ, He offers you that drink. that living water to free you to be what he designed you to be, not to be enslaved just by the moment. If you empty your life on yourself, you will be thirsty again, and so will everyone else who comes across your path. Empty it out into his hands, and he will fill you and give you the water that you can share with everyone and with everybody else, so life can be full and meaningful. God did not just create us to be blessed. God created us to use the gift that God has given us to bless others as well. The Lord is making the way for us in the wilderness, in the wasteland, in the valley of the shadow of death. Wherever you go this year, know that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is with you. And please join me for the benediction. This comes from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.